on an airplane going to Los Angeles, and my kids were about 2.5, 1.5, a little guy. And we get the kids finally settled down the airplane. The red eye put to happen. And Kathleen, my one child, is kind of like hanging over me with her legs over my waist area. She's kind of laying out. And I look at my wife, and she looks at me. Smiling. I get this strange, funny, warm sensation, like, starting to happen in my waist area. I'm going, what? Why am I feeling this warm sensation? And I'm realizing, oh, Kathleen, we did pull-ups for Kathleen for diapers, and because she's potty training, and we forgot to put. And I was stoked. I mean, to the BVD, soaked. I went, oh, I got 4 more hours on the airplane. I was like, I don't, and the seat was ruined. I'm going, oh no. So I get up and I walk in the back of the airplane and I stood for the entire airplane. And as we're landing, the stewardess is like, hey, sir, you gotta come sit down because you know, we're landing. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sitting down. She's but you have to sit down. This is like, you know, regulation. I said, I'm not sitting down. I said, look, my daughter. And they go, and I kid you not, the stewardess, she just walked away. She just walked away. And you ever have one of those like weeks where just things don't go great? And it really, it's a pretty heavy inconvenience, or maybe a month of heavy inconvenience and anger's building up in you. You may have had one of those kind of years where things are just anger you. And sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for bad reasons. Are we allowed, according to the Bible, to get angry? I want to look in the Bible today about biblically, what is anger? Are we allowed to get angry? Not allowed to get angry? If we are, well, how angry can we get? What is the purpose of anger? Anger is a wonderful thing that's given to us by God. Anger is a wonderful thing given to us by God. This is what anger is. Oh, there it is. Anger is an emotion given to us by God to give us extra motivation to change something that's wrong. Anger is emotion given to us by God to give us extra motivation to change something that is wrong. Is anger sin? No, anger is not sin. Now, we can't use anger like a club to beat somebody over the head. That's wrong. Well, then how does anger work then, scripturally speaking? I drew a little picture that the Lord laid upon my heart one day about what anger is. And this is the picture. It's what I call the anger mountain. And in the anger mountain, we get really angry about something. It puts us on a threshold where there's going to be a moral consequence towards righteousness or towards sinfulness. Anger, it builds up inside of us. We're sitting on this anger mountain, and how we respond is very, very important. What are we allowed to get angry about? Are we allowed to get angry about our favorite sports team losing in the championships? Like my Philadelphia Eagles football team last February, when they lost the championships, it was terrible. No, it wasn't that bad. How about missing the subway? You allowed to get angry at missing the subway? Traffic jams? How about you go to the public restroom and there's no more TP and you're going, like panic mode, crying out for the tender mercies of God. What are we allowed to get angry about? Now, I have 2 diagnostic questions for us to consider about anger to help us to understand how anger works. And the first question is this anger something God would get angry about? Is this something that God would get angry about? When it comes to human emotions, One of the best ways to understand how do human emotions work best is to see how God uses emotion in the scriptures. For instance, should we be happy about serving the poor, helping neighbors, getting good grades, saying kind words, working hard, children, butterflies, and puppies? Well, does God get happy? Does that make God happy? Does that make God happy when people do these things? Serving the poor, helping neighbors, hardworking, butterflies and puppies. Yeah, I think that makes God happy. And we should be happy about things that make God happy. But if something is done that doesn't make God happy, then we shouldn't be happy about those things. What about like torture, murder, stealing? Do those things make God happy? No. Then they shouldn't make us happy either. Those things make God sad. Therefore, we should be sad about those things. Emotionally speaking, we should be happy about things that God is happy about. And we should be sad about things that God is sad about. Well, the same thing is true with anger. If the things don't really make God angry, then we really shouldn't be angry about it. The first question we got to ask ourselves when we feel in this anger start dwelling up inside of us is this something that God will get angry about? For instance, how about somebody singing in the subway? You're sitting down in the subway and you're going to your next stop, and someone's singing to you and they're kind of loud and they're off key. Should that make you angry? Probably not, because I don't think God gets angry about a person singing in the subway. I mean, of course, if someone's being really obnoxious and they're drunk and they're causing a scene, that's a little different. I don't mind just somebody being obnoxious singing their favorite song. Should it make you angry? No, I don't think it should make you angry. I don't think God gets angry about that. What about the child who spills milk at the dinner table again? Should that make you angry? Probably not, because it doesn't really make God angry. There are lots of things in our lives that make us angry that we really shouldn't get angry about. I remember a story, it was a great story. My one daughter, she was 3 years old. She drew a special picture for me. She says, "Hi, Dad." I said, "Hi, little girl. I want to show you a picture I drew for you." Okay. She grabs my hand and starts walking me through the kitchen. We go out in the garage. And lo and behold, there was the pretty picture drawn with a rock on the side of my car. Oh, lovely. I was like, oh. And the Spirit instantly spoke my heart and said, she did not know that was wrong. Do you think God gets angry about a three-year-old who draws a picture with a rock on the side of your car and she didn't know that was wrong? I don't think God gets angry about that. And I turned and I said, now listen. I'm not going to punish you because you did not know this is wrong. But if you do this again, you will get punished. You can have the car getting rusted and you know, that's it's expensive and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if it doesn't make God angry, we got to cool the jets, if they say in American lingo. That's the jets on an airplane. They get red hot. We got to cool those jets down. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Proverbs 19:11, those with good sense are slow to anger, and it's to their glory to overlook an offense. It's good they're slow to anger. Proverbs 29, verse 11, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. It is wise to hold back our anger and to ask ourselves, is this something that God will get angry about? Because if it's not, then we gotta like not get there. Now I'd like for you to pair up with someone next to you. and you can groups of three, two or three. And I want you to share a pet peeve. You guys know what a pet peeve is? A pet peeve is something that's kind of annoying. Oh, it's not angry about that, it just annoys you. And I want you to share the joys of how this is so annoying with you and a righteous way to respond to that. So I'm giving you guys just like 2-3 minutes, pair up with somebody and share a pet peeve. I gave some examples there. A pet peeve might be smoking in the elevator. That happened to my wife and myself just the other day. The DD driver canceling on you. They went, oh, what? And this is the worst, man. The last one's the worst. You're in an airplane and your little entertainment movie console back of the seat in front of you doesn't work. Guess what? That airplane sold out. You're stuck the whole flight with no movies. Oh, can't even think of something more torturous than that. Why don't you guys just share a pet peeve with one another and I'll come back in a minute or two. So you all about almost done here? Any good pet? There are. We're all human here. So when it comes to understanding biblical anger, I think a great diagnosis, is this something that God would get angry about? Because if it's not, we got to cool the afterburners. We got to cool the jets. We got to like reduce, make ourselves calm again, ask help from the Holy Spirit. And just not get wildly angry. But what happens if the thing you're angry about is something that God might be angry about, right? There are situations like that out there that God does get angry about. God gets angry about robbery, about murder, about drugs. Well, what do you do then? What you have now is you have what's called a righteous anger. But then what do? The second diagnostic question, how do I respond righteously? How do I respond righteously? Because at the second diagnostic question, now you're at the top of that anger mountain and you're the angry bird and you're going, okay, what am I going to do here? The scriptures talk about this. Psalm 4 verse 4 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Because anger sometimes can turn into rage and we can respond sinfully. Proverbs 12, verse 16 says, a fool's anger is known at once. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but the harsh words stir up anger. Because we can blow it when we get mad. I was reminded of a story once when my wife and I were at the Garden State County Fair. This is in the state of New Jersey, East Coast, United States. And each year, back in the 90s, they had a big, giant, statewide fair. And it was a great fair, lots of fun things. And I'm with my wife and two pretty high school girls. And we're walking towards this game where you can pay some money, play a game, and win a big, giant stuffed animal. And the guy working on the game was sitting on a sawhorse, and he saw us coming. He goes, whoa, look at these hotties coming here. I wanted to get to know you, especially you, and point it right to my wife. What? Ugh. Then I punched the guy in the mouth. Right? No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. First of all, my anger started building up. Now, is that something that I should be angry about? Is that a righteous anger? Yeah, every guy's hand should say yes. That's true. If you have some guy who walks up to you and says something very, very inappropriate to your wife, to your face, that should make you angry. Not righteous anger. What do I do? Yeah, I had this, you know, this vision of just smacking him right in the teeth and breaking his teeth. But then what would have happened? I would have gone to jail. Then he probably would have a lawsuit against me. And I would have lost my job because I was a youth pastor at the time. And the two high school girls were part of our youth group. Great, huh? Talk about crummy consequences. I had a righteous anger. I could respond to it sinfully, but I chose, ladies, we're moving on. That's what I said. And I got them away from the Gurk. Put a J there and kind of figure that out. You know, because sometimes you don't know what to do. It just hits you so suddenly. You're going, oh, this is like what? And it's righteous anger. And just take 3 seconds. Just take 3 seconds and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do? And he's going to help you. I was reminded once, I was in Israel, and the country Israel, with some friends. It was part of a seminary trip. It was awesome. We're in the old city section in Jerusalem, and some Jewish soldiers come by, and they go, oh, look at that. Three of them. The middle guy reaches over, and he grabs these glasses right here. He goes, oh, are these Ray-Bans? I was like, yeah. He takes them from me and puts them on his face. I'm going, these three guys, they had machine guns, okay? They were soldiers, they had machine guns, literally they had the M16 rifles. And I'm going, and then they're going, hey, okay, guys, hey, what I look? And I'm going, yeah, you look nice. So I guess, you know, those are kind of like mine. And I'm realizing this guy, he ain't gonna give them back. I'm going, he's gonna steal my sunglasses right in front of them. No, I said, Holy Spirit, what do I do? And I just says the Holy Spirit going, calm. And the idea is I'm going to reach up and I'm going to slowly grab them off his face. Now, if you're going to grab someone off someone's face who has a machine gun, it's best to do it slowly. So I went up there and I slowly reached up and I grabbed the sunglasses off his face and I put them right back on to my shirt, just like this. The other two guys started dying laughing. No way. Like they couldn't believe I actually did that. I'm like, I couldn't believe I actually did that. And the three guys, they kind of smiled. Then they kind of moved on. I was like, whoa. Oh, okay. That was interesting. And I just reminded, like, when I was preparing this message, that we can have a righteous anger. But if we respond, like, in a crazy way or in a stupid way or a sinful way, there's going to be moral consequences. And they're not going to be pretty. Sometimes, you know, you get away with it. Praise God when that happens. Sometimes you don't. But if you respond to it righteously, you ask the Holy Spirit quickly, Holy Spirit, what do I do? What do I do? I'm freaking out. What do I do? The vast majority of time, he's going to tell you. He's going to prompt you with an idea. He's going to tell you to not get, you know, overly excited. You're going to be okay. The scripture says, be angry, but sin not. Now, I want you guys to turn to your neighbor again, and I want you to share a righteous anger moment that you had in the last 2 days. No. Yeah, in the last whatever, maybe the last couple of years, funny story. A righteous anger that you have, and how you respond, and how you could respond to it wrong way, and how you can respond to it in the right way. So why don't you turn to your partner, bring up, get like groups 2 or 3, and we're going to kind of apply this to our lives. So I'll come back in a minute or two. So are you guys going to get the hang of this here? It's not too bad when you ask the two diagnostic questions. It really does help to filter what we get angry about, what not to get angry about, and if we have righteous anger, how do we respond to it, righteously or unrighteously? But there's one more thing I want for you to learn about anger today, and that is number three in your notes, and that is to unlearn bad anger habits. You must unlearn bad anger habits. This next verse in Proverbs 22:24-25, it's pretty heavy. It says, make no friends with those given to anger, and do not associate with hotheads, or you may learn their ways and entangle yourself in a snare. I'll read it again. Make no friends with those given to anger, and do not associate with hotheads, or you may learn their ways and entangle yourself in a snare. There are some good news and some bad news about this verse as it relates to anger. The bad news is, we'll start with the bad news first. If anger is constantly getting the better hand of us over us, we're not getting around the corner on this. We're not making a headway on this. If it's left unchecked, this will damage you and leave you with much less friends. It says here, make no friends with those given to anger. Now, why does Scripture say that? Well, because God doesn't want us to learn those bad habits of being a hothead and end up hurting ourselves in the way we respond to life. In Proverbs 19, verse 19, it reads, a man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Oh. Titus 3, verse 10. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. This, by the way, is a great verse for anybody who wants to go into the pastorate. You need to memorize Titus 3, verse 10. Reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition. That is, somebody in the church is causing problems, divisiveness, blowing up on people. Reject them. I reminded of a guy who came out to the church. My wife and I started in Hawaii, and he ran hot. He's a guy, he ran hot. Some people, they run hot, and he would blow up at people on Sunday morning. And after a couple times, I talked to him about that. I'd say, hey, bro, you got to stop doing that, man. This is just... And then he did it again, and then again the next weekend. I'm like, all right, that's it. And I pulled him aside. I said, listen, man, you can't be like, you know, people don't want to go to church and hear people and shouting arguments in the parking lot. Why does this keep happening to you? He goes, I don't know, man. I said, listen, you've got to get this under control. And he's like, he goes, well, what are you going to do? And he starts giving me some more lip. And I'm like, listen, bro. Either you got to submit to me as the pastor and come to this church and not get into screaming arguments with people, or you're going to go to another church where you can respect the pastor. And the guy's like, well, fine, I'll leave. I said, good. By the way, if you had that kind of conversation with somebody, don't start begging them back. Oh, no, please come back. Please come back. No, no, you just let them go. Is reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition. Because hotheads, they cause problems. They're goats. You know what goats do? They butt each other. They get in head-butting competitions. They want to stand on the highest peak. I had a goat live near my house when I was a kid. And we used to run after the goat and antagonize the goat. And man, that goat, when he wanted to, he'd get you. He called him, his name is Beep. I have asked drug addicts, people who've been divorced, ex-cons, gamblers, partiers, homosexuals, homeless people, politicians, everybody, come on back, church. Oh, come on back, church. Come back, come on, come on. But someone who's a hothead and divisive, no, I don't ask them. They're going to end up hurting the sheep. Can't do that. If left unchecked, hotheads, they're going to lose their friends, and they're going to entangle themselves in snares again and again and again. And the scripture says, don't rescue them. Let them suffer the consequences of their behavior. Let them learn. That's the bad news. The good news to unlearning bad anger habits is that it is a learned trait. I'm going to go back to the previous slide here. It says, make no friends with those given to anger. Do not associate with hotheads, or you may learn their ways. The good news is, when it comes to anger, it can be unlearned. For the vast majority of people who have struggled with being a hothead, they learned it through their kids at school. It was somebody. They have behavior to get what I want, and that's what they do. And this can be unlearned. A rageaholic. How do you unlearn that? And this is a beautiful verse. Oh, let me see that. Ah, there it is. It says, this is King David in a song, Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4. It reads, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows what we're going through from afar. Before a word is on our mouth, the Lord knows it. And this is one of the greatest secrets and wonders of a relationship with the Holy God, is you talk to him and you ask him, God, can you please help me out with this? Like you know, like before I say something stupid, could you please like oh, please tell me that? And God, he's so good. He will. He knows it. He knows what our whole day before we have our day. When I came to Christ in high school, I used to curse all the time. Now, I was smart enough not to curse at home because my dad disciplined with a belt. So you learn not to curse at home. So, but at school, oh yeah, cursing is fair game. And when I came to Christ, I was like, this has got to stop. And I was like, God, can you please help me like not curse, like not say bad words? Like before I say it, can you please tell me like, I didn't even know this verse even existed when I asked him. I just figured God knew that, right? So that's what I did. And the Lord was so gracious. I mean, within like 1 or 2 weeks, my potty mouth was cleaned up. Like, wow, that's amazing. I know one guy, New Hope Lihui, he would take the Lord's name in vain all the time. He'd say, oh, G-O-D, oh, G-O-D, oh, G-O-D. Like, not good. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And I had a talk with him and said, this is, you know, how you fix yourself. And this is really easy. Just ask the Holy Spirit before you would use the Lord's name in vain. Ask him to tell you that. And so you can learn to refrain from that. He had that thing defeated in his life in like maybe 2 weeks, maybe. I mean, it was fast. I know another guy who would say Christianese too much. He was like convicted. He's saying, oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, oh, amen, brother. And he realized he was just sounding kind of corny. Like he was just, you know, there's too much Christianese around his friends. And he was just like, I got to like tone it down a little bit. He asked the Holy Spirit, can you please like tone this down to me a little bit? Like, and sure enough, God was gracious. And he did. I mean, this works in so many wonderful areas of our life. This is awesome. This is such a wonderful, gift that the Holy Spirit wants to, I think, give many of us here. And that is, before we do something or say something, particularly say something wrong, inappropriate, as it relates to anger or maybe some of the area in our lives, ask the Holy Spirit, and He will convict you, and He will guide you, and He will tell you, oh, you're starting to get angry now. Time to cool down a little bit. He will tell you that in advance, and He will help you. Does that sound good? Let's close in a word of prayer here. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you do. Lord, thank you so much that you know everything that we're going to say, everything we're going to do before we even do them. And Lord, this morning, we just confess, Lord, we get angry about stupid things too much, and we gotta like obey you and honor you. And Lord, there's just sin in my life. I need you. I need you to come and be my Lord. I need you to come into my life and be my Savior. So please come into my life and save me. And Lord, for some of us, it centers around anger, and I pray you help us to get a better control on anger. This week, before we lash out in anger, please tell us. Please warn us. We beg of you to do this. Change us. Because you're good. Because you're holy. Because you're wonderful. And these things we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.